Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. You're about to hear about 40 minutes of me talking about purchases. Two topics, one that's still legit and valid, and another one I don't have an update on that one. And another one that was old news, which is kind of like dated, like really dated. It was dated within 24 hours. So I had talked about Tom King losing his job on Batman, and it's kind of not pertinent anymore. Since that time, like the next day, they announced that he's going to be moving that story over to the Bat and the Cat. So it's just another title. It's not Batman. That's going to be 12 issues, so that'll take him past 80 something, which is where he's stopping, and then you add that in, and that'll get him to the 100 and some issues that he was targeting anyway. And the other thing is, he recently got announced that he'll be co-writing or co-scripting a script for the New Gods. So while I was all talking about like bad news, it didn't even last very long. It wasn't even bad news. It turned out to be better news, I guess, for him, in terms of being scripting. Like, I don't know how movie scripting works. Like, does that mean that you get paid for a script? Like, somebody, a studio pays you for a script, or does that mean you script and hope they buy it? I have no idea. I have no idea how movie stuff works. But I thought I'd give you that update, and, I am gonna let you listen to last week's episode because I was too lazy to release it. And then I'll be back with some of the weekly reads. So I hope you enjoy. Talk to you in a bit. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. It is a long weekend, Memorial Day weekend. And, this is going to be a long one for me. It's going to be 4 days. So, actually, it's three and a half, but it's still a long one. Mostly because we have some work around the house, contractors coming around, and I have to take off an extra day or part of the day, depending on how long they're going to be here. But I'll probably be reading a lot that day, so that's a good day. And I just got some recent purchases I want to talk about. I was reminiscing a little bit today, and last night before I went to bed, I was debating whether if I wanted to read a comic book or what. So I go through my routine. I go play Words with Friends, and I'm only playing with like three people right now, so it takes me about, I don't know, 10 minutes, and I usually enter in once a day. Yeah, our games are really slow. So, and I'm not very good. I win less than I play my wife, and she annihilates me. If I'm within 100 points of Barb, I'm doing really good. I think I accidentally beat her once because of some weird anomaly where I got like a bunch of triple words or something. But, yeah, that's, I gotta get something to drink. It's gonna be a podcast. So, yeah, I was reminiscing about stuff because last night one of the things I do before bed is I will go to my list. I usually don't read everybody's Twitter. I follow like 1,500 people, or I don't know what it's like. I usually have a select few, and I have a list called My Homies. And I usually will go through what people tweet really late at night, right before I go to bed. Well, not really late. 10 p.m. is usually when I go to bed. Sometimes it's 11 p.m. And I'll go through that list of my homies and see what they all did today. That's the one thing is, they talk about toxic fandom. Well, I tend to surround myself in that list about more positive type individuals that are more up with positive things to say about comics, and they don't let entertainment get, they don't get that like B negativity. I call it the beehive negativity flare up, where people just swarm around negativity on the Twitters. This is more of a my personal favorite list of people that I like to follow. That stuff is usually happy. But anyway, one of my friends, Kirk, who I follow on Twitter, Sergeant Rock fan, biggest military comic fan that I know of. He posted a thing saying prayers out to Reggie of the comic treadmill. And I don't know much about Reggie. I do know of the cosmic treadmill. I never listen to it, mostly because I don't explore in podcasts. Very seldom do I drop one, and very seldom do I pick one up. And now that I have 11 o'clock comics back into my list, that's like an extra 2 hours, 3 hours a week. I don't run out anymore, so I don't explore. Even when I'm missing one, there's just a lot of content. But anyway, I know of their podcast. Podcasters know of podcasts. I'm very aware of the Cosmic Treadmill, and I don't real. We may have talked once or twice on the Twitter, but his co-host had posted a short clip, and it wasn't good. And it got me reminiscing because I lost a co-host, and Reggie is not. He's still in the hospital. He had a condition called aortic, is it di aortic dissection. It's a serious condition in which the inner layer of the aorta, the large blood vessel branching off the heart, it basically tears. So then blood surges through the tear, causing inner and middle layers of the aorta to separate, and that's where the dissect comes from. I think that the first time I ever heard this, I think it John Ritter had this condition, and I was big into John Ritter because of Three's Company, one of my favorite shows of all time. He passed away of this condition, I think, and he also was in Skin Deep, a Blake Edwards film, and Hero at Large, which meant a lot to me as a kid because there wasn't a lot of heroic movies, and this was about a hero that wasn't really a hero. Everything was staged based on commercialism, but then he turned into a real hero. And I remember Hero at Large. But anyway, this is just a little shout out to the family of Reggie, hoping that he pulls out of this situation that he's in. And it sounds like, if you treat it in time, or and they did get him there. I don't know how far along. I don't know any details. That you can survive this terrible condition when it happens. It sounds like you're either born with this defect where it could rip, or you could possibly develop it from high blood pressure. But I lost Eric Martin to a heart attack, and he was one of my greatest friends. And it just got me feeling a lot of, like, I don't know, sadness. Even though I don't know this guy, I don't know his co-host, I sort of felt what he was going through by just his voice. I remember contemplating quitting podcasting because of the loss of Eric. I didn't know how to function for 2 weeks, and until like sanity rolled in, and it was like, what would Eric want? Like, would he want DC Noise to die, or would he want it to continue? And you might say, well, DC Noise is it's there. It's called DC Spotlight now, and there may be a DC Noise, but I have kept that feed going, and I will keep it going. But it just got me thinking, so just keep Reggie, I don't know his real name. I don't even know what he looks like, because people know what I look like, because I post my image everywhere. But he's got a cartoon character as his Twitter, and I don't know what he looks like, but just keep his family and him in your thoughts and prayers if you do pray. If you believe in this positivity or people thinking of you, maybe it'll all help. Just wanted to mention that. And I was just watching the video of Heroes Con, 51 Geek Brunch, which is on YouTube if you search for Geek Brunch 51. And I tear up every time I watch it. I tear up because it was such a great time, but I tear up because Eric's in that video. And it's a little tough for me. It's a little rough. But I love that video so much, and Heroes Con's coming around the corner, and it just got me thinking about it. So yeah, there's that. And then just a little quick shout out to my friends, the ones that are really close to me, Daryl Taylor and Chris Campbell. They're really good friends with Tom King, and the news of Tom King getting knocked off of Batman, even though he had this grandiose, or I don't know how to pronounce that word, but you know what I'm saying, plan to go to 100+ issues. It was probably like 112 or something, because he didn't do all the issues of Batman. There was the Monster Men. By Steve Orlando in there, and then there was the Flash episodes that were by Williamson, I believe, and there was the Button, and then the recent one. I haven't even read the recent one yet, but my thoughts to them, because it does hurt when a real close friend is emotionally hurting, and he may be, I don't know. He's an Eisner Award winner, so I'm sure he'll find work. It's just whether he gets to tell the story. And I heard a rumor already that there's gonna be a Batman Catwoman series, so maybe he'll continue his story there. And it was a little premature. I don't know what the circumstances are. It's all been rumor mill, except it was confirmed that he's gonna be done with Batman proper around the issues late 80s. And those of you that know me know that I'm not a fan of Tom King's Batman. I really loved his Batman Elmer Fudd. I think he's a talented writer, obviously, because people like it. And even though I don't care for it, it's still, I keep telling people, it's still the top selling ongoing. Yeah, you could say Immortal Hulk passed it, but it has that shenanigans bullshit, which is the 1 in 25s, which caused people to buy more copies. Whereas Batman's pretty much your cover A, cover B, with the exception of like special issues like Batman 50. So, it's a lot to be said to keep up those numbers, even though they've been dropping to the 80s. It's still 80 times 2, which is pretty goddamn impressive. So, Chris and Daryl, I'm thinking of you, because you are really good friends to me. I love you, and when you hurt, I hurt. All right. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm a weird fucker. I get emotional when it comes to my friends, 'cause they're not just friends. It's like your family. These guys are my family. So, I'm getting fucking emotional for no reason. I know we're something stupid, but I think of my friends a lot. So if you're in my circle, I'm always thinking about you. I am. And that Reggie thing just got me upset. I'm already emotional just because I just can't imagine, I don't even know this guy, but you're his wife and your family and or co-host and somebody that's always been there for you all the time is going through this big ordeal, and it's shitty, man. Life sucks in the fact that it's not you're not immortal. I sometimes wonder if I do the right thing when I buy all these comics, 'cause I start thinking about my mortality, and it does bring me down, but buying the comics makes me sometimes feel immortal. Even though I know I'm going to die, I don't want to die. It's just, I don't know, it's just one of those things you have to live with your loved ones, and it sucks. But I'm gonna try to emotionally shift out of this bullshit, take a swig of water, and get back on track. So, what I bought, I went on this image kick, and I bought a lot of comics. Okay, so this latest order filled a long box of comics. And I'll tell you right now, a lot of it was Supreme. That stack was so big because I didn't stick with Supreme very long. I bought like the first 14, 15 issues when it came out. And then I poked my head in maybe once or twice, but not for a long duration. And then when Eric Larson revamped it very recently, he continued the numbering. I still started, I love Eric Larson, by the way. He's one of my favorites. I even get like defensive. Like, there's the Slack channel discussion. And this Slack channel discussion was so there was some guy I don't know why I spend time on the Slack channel. I love it, but I hate it at the same time. But it's I'm not going to say what Slack channel it is, but I do frequent it. And there's one person on there that just he knows how to tweak my I don't know, he just if I look at his posts and I scroll up, it is so weird. When he does a preview spotlight, he's so positive about like what's coming out in previews and why he likes it. One of the best voices in the preview spotlight. I really enjoy his clips. You'd think I'd get along with him. But when I see him in that forum, his negativity just starts building on me like a bug, like, and he's like, yeah, Tom King, DC, blah blah blah. That was pissing me off. And he also was telling me about the filth that Eric Larson writes. And I wanted to like just, hey motherfucker, how could you talk about this? But I said I'll take the high road, and I usually do that with him. I'll just leave. It's not worth my time. But it does bother me when people are so negative, and his negativity bothers me. There might be one listener here who knows who I'm talking about, and that's probably it. Maybe two listeners, but I don't even know how I got there. But anyway, it kind of linked itself to Tom King and linked itself to Eric Larson in Supreme. So I worked on this Supreme. I almost completed it. And when I almost completed it, I really mean it. I mean, I almost completed it all the way for it had a long run. It ran from 1992 to 1998. That's pretty good for an image book. And when 2012, it does have some Alan Moore in there. those were a lot of the issues they couldn't fulfill. So I was missing, I still missing issues 0, 23, 28, 44, and then 49, 50, 51, 54, and these are the Alan Moore issues. 56, and then I believe I have the rest. Yep. I'm glad I looked at this. I didn't mark the Supremes, even though I went to DCBS. I didn't mark all of the Supremes by Eric Larson because I read most of them, but I didn't read 67, 68, and that is in the closet that I haven't inventoried yet, and that's why it's not in the database yet. I have a couple thousand in this closet. I really need to spend some time searching that out, and I'm missing the annual number one. So I'm missing about six issues of Supreme. Not too bad. Out of it's 68 issues, and it does jump from 56 to 63. And you might say, well, why did that happen? Well, it is continued in I believe it's volume two, which was the awesome series. So I ended up, let's see, what else do we have with Supreme? I completed Supreme Blue Rose, Supreme Glory Days, which was only two issues, Supreme The Return. That's where the issues were continued in. And that what series was only six issues. I'm missing number three, four, and that's it. Three, four, and five. Sorry, three, four, and five. So I got about half of that. Again, that's Alan Moore and Chris Sprouse and Ian Churchill. Some really big writers. Jim Starlin has an issue on issue two. So I completed a lot of Supreme. I went and did Lady Supreme. There's only two issues of that. I only need w issue one. And then Kid Supreme was three issues. I completed that. And then there's a Gladiator slash Supreme. And that one I am missing still. So I need to get Gladiator Supreme. So I got that was like a quarter, if not more, of the long box that I filled was just Supreme Comics. Let me get this off of you, Harley. You still have your walking leash on. And then I said I wanted to finish Shadowhawk. So I completed all of Shadowhawk. So that's a done deal. Shadowhawk is done. Trencher, I was just missing the holiday special, Keith Griffin's Trencher. What else? I better get on here. I'll start from the top. I finished All Crime. That's only like four issues from Art of Fiction Comics. Really good anthology crime series. I needed number one. I finished it. I got Arch Enemies 1 through 4, and I didn't even really know about this. It's a Dark Horse book. And I went to there was a speculator site. And I said maybe I should get these books because of what happened. Well, what did happen? Well, Dark Horse signed an agreement with Netflix, which lets them have first dibs. It doesn't mean that there's an exclusive deal. It just means that, like, if Umbrella Academy was done at Dark Horse, that they would have first dibs on what buying the streaming property. So it listed a bunch of Dark Horse properties that were potentials, and I was like, I could get these books for a dollar. And so I picked out things that I thought were very interesting to me in case it doesn't pan out, and I wanted to read, and were still relatively like a dollar or two. So that's where the Arch Enemies came from. What else did I get from Dark Horse? I got The Mark, both volumes. I had part of volume two. I was only missing issue four of that, but I completed The Mark. That's also a Dark Horse series. Aster was something I discovered in Vantage magazine about a Filipino artist, and it had some snippets in Vantage, and I'm like, so as soon as I got the Ash Can, which was his first work, I thumbed through it and I was like, wow, this is impressive. I posted some of that work on the Twitters, and I really like it. I'm looking forward to reading it. I wanted to finish Prophet, and Prophet I've already finished that main series, with the exception of it came back as a very artsy-fartsy book, and I only got the first two issues. I didn't like it. I want to complete it at some point. But I did complete volume one and volume two and most of the Prophet proper stuff, minus that series, the end part of that series. Around the same time that Image was doing Glory and that by Brandon Graham and all those independent writers. There was a few miniseries I was missing, so I got Evangeline Prophet number two. I still need number one. Dark Revelations, I enjoyed so much Dr. Faustus, which me and Bill talked about on the latest Geek Brunch releasing today. The other one was Necromancer, really enjoyed it, so I bought another two-issue series from Anarchy. This one's called Dark Revelation. I wanted to try to buy all of the Fighting Americans. I wasn't successful, but it's probably their algorithm. I loaded all six of the DC 1994 Fighting American and only got three. So I put those other three in my queue and they are available. I don't know how I missed them or if I click on one, if that maps one to one to my comic shop code. And that particular one was gone, so they didn't like fill it with the next one. I don't know how that works. And then there was from Awesome Comics, the Liefeld stuff, the Fighting American Dogs of War number one and two I was missing. The rest of the Liefeld stuff I have. And there was the Fighting American that happened in Titan recently. I had that. And I've been working on the Golden Age Fighting American as I can get them. I have two or three Kirby issues of Fighting American. I then wanted to complete Gen 13, and I got pretty damn close. I started it about 2 years ago. This is me finishing it up. Again, I think I'm only missing like two issues of Gen 13, and then I'll be done. I got a GI Combat 288, which is the final issue of that series. I told you about Kid Supreme, Lady Supreme, Legend of Supreme. I told you about The Mark, Megaton. I've been trying. This is a fascinating series, man. Some really, really early Eric Larson work, and I told you how much I love Eric Larson, but it's got really, really early Liefeld. And number eight has a whole Liefeld story, and it's pretty sweet looking. If you're a Liefeld fan. And then I'm working on getting all the Midnight Suns. I finished Ghost Rider. The next one I was going to do is Morbius because I strategically went after that one because it's relatively cheap right now. But Morbius is going to have a movie. So I didn't want it to get outrageously high. I wanted to get it while it's still in the $3 and $2 range. So I almost completed Morbius. I'm still missing the penultimate and the finale one and one more. So there's three issues of Morbius I'm missing. And those other one, the last two are pretty costly. They're about $7 to $8 each. Because of the low print runs. I finished The Pit. Quite an achievement. Also Image Comics. I bought some more previews to go down more rabbit holes. Usually, what I was focusing on is advanced comics, but these previews I had at one time, but I threw them out. And when I try to go after these previews, I try to spread them apart a little bit so I could just be able to go through previews again and see what back issues I want to go after that I didn't go after when I was pre-ordering. So that's the reason I go through this pre-order thing. We got Prophet Babe Watch special. This is when they turned all the males into females and females into males, I think. It was an Image crossover. This was with Prophet, so you have a female Prophet. We had a Marvel Image crossover, Prophet Cable, 2 issues. We have a Prophet Chapel, Super Soldiers, 1 and 2. We got Prophet Legacy number 1. That was from Awesome Comics. There's only one comic in there. There wasn't a lot of comics published under Awesome. On Aaron Myers's page, I saw he was selling a Red Sonja scavenger hunt, and I didn't go for it there because it was $10. When he puts up a price and I know I could get it cheaper, I go for the cheaper. So I added it to my cart and got it. I have all the other Marvel Red Sonjas, where she first appeared, Marvel feature, and then Conan, and her Red Sonjas volumes 1 and 2 and 3. But I didn't have this one, so I purchased it. We got Shadowhawk. We talked about that. I completed it. All the volumes of Shadowhawk I have now. Silver Sable completed. I did it. I then was in that Malibu mood. I was going through that Advanced Comics, and they had a crossover with DC. And I said, that's pretty fascinating to have a crossover, a Star Trek crossover. They had, at that time, Malibu had Deep Space Nine. And DC had Next Generation, and they had a crossover where DC did 2 of them, and Malibu did 2. So they would do the D Deep Space Nine, Next Generation, and then Next Generation Deep Space Nine at DC. I also was digging in an Advanced Comics and saw, or maybe it was not Advanced Comics, maybe it was, I was reading an old comic and I saw an ad based on something that I got from Advanced Comics, and it had an ad for Stigmata. And I was like, wow, that looks awesome. And I've always been fascinated with what Stigmata is. And I picked up that, got the full run of that. So just a ton of Supreme, man. Woo. There was an preview edition of Siphons I was missing, so now I have a full run of Siphons. I got the preview edition. I got the final Team Anarchy, which I completed all the Anarchy. I completed a Dead Universe. Team Anarchy number 4 was the only one I was missing. Ultra Force, Zero, Ashcan. I have all of the Ultraverse except for the variants. And I didn't have this Ashcan, and for some reason I was like, oh, I want the Ashcan too. I don't usually go for the variants. I just want all the stories and all the issues. But sometimes I'll go after. And I think what it was is I was really going after a low print run Ultra Force with Evil Prime on the cover. They did a cover, one had hard case, one had Prime. But the ratio was like 70-30. And I wanted to get that 30, and they didn't fulfill that in my order, but I did get this as part of that purchase. I completed Umbrella Academy. Well, I'm not going to say I completed it yet. I got the free Comic Book Day edition sent to me through the other ones I got through DCBS because they weren't available on my comicshop.com. So I got Apocalypse Suite, which is the very first one. I got the Dallas books. I think it was the Dallas, the sec, the third, maybe it was, yeah, the third, the second series of Umbrella Academy. And the third series, I have issue 6, but I need 1 through 5, and that was ordered, but I haven't received it yet. And then Union, another Image comic I finished. Vanguard Illustrated. I saw an ad again. This is a. And it sold me. It's a sci-fi anthology. The covers just looked amazing. The covers sold me, and it did have a first appearance. And I did pick up a first appearance, and it's the first appearance of Mr. Monster in issue 7. So I got 1 through 7. I'm missing issue 2. It's got some Brandon McCarthy art, Rick Bryant, Steve Rude, Tom Yeats, Bob McLeod, So it's got some big guns, George Perez, some interesting stuff. Mike Barron on the writing, Peter Milligan, David Capote. Let's see in the writing if there's anybody else. Joey Calaveri, he was an editor and writer. That's pretty much all the big names that I know of. Bill Dubé. I think Bill Bomer was talking about Bill Dubé at one point. So that's what I got. And the next thing I'm going to go through real quick is I got an Aaron Myers box, and I don't even know what's in it because I basically order books and then I forget what I order. Maybe I shouldn't do this live because he packs them so goddamn well that I'm not sure I will get it open in time. But I'm going to attempt to open it live. Oh, the other thing I got from the comic shop was Savage Hulk magazine, black and white, 2 through whatever, I think it's 7, which completed the black and white portion of that comic book. And doesn't look like it's going to be too bad. I just gotta be careful. He packs them with tape. You don't wanna cut the wrong thing. And they're tight. So I'm always careful. Looks like I got some magazine sized. That those Rampaging Hulks. Not, I said Savage Hulk, the Rampaging Hulks magazines to open tear along perforation. Well, this is interesting. This is the farthest I've been away from my computer, so I hope it's still recording. Yep, you're hearing it live. So the first one has 2 magazines. Oh wow. I bought 2 Penthouse comics. One's Penthouse Comics, number 8. You gotta see the artist on here. Sidom, Texaria, Beecham. Man, that's awesome art. And then I bought Penthouse Men's Adventure Comics. Has Fabry, Bisley, Suda, Maguire. That's Kevin Maguire. And Polkovitz. And yeah, they might be a little naughty, but it's beautiful. So I picked those 2 magazines. And then on the comic side, this one looks like it's going to be a little more difficult to get into. But I'm working it, so bear with me. Oh, and it's back, it's in this bag and then another bag. So this is like where you gotta be like Houdini to get into it. But your books are protected. And Aaron Myers is a good seller. Reed is too. Reed just filled in a bunch of my Conans and Call, which is another property of. I'm just trying to be careful here. There's probably some X-Men in here because I remember ordering some X-Men. So I got Amazing Spider-Man 217. It's the second appearance of Hydro Man. I was missing a giant size Captain America number 1. A giant size Werewolf by Night. Yes, I completed Werewolf by Night, but not the giant size. Giant size Dracula number 5. Giant size Dracula number 3. Ghost Rider 2099, the last issue. Or not? No, the last issue. I got 24 and 25. I want to get that 20. I want to complete the 2099. And you're gonna say the next ones. You're gonna be like, "What the fuck, Mike? Why are you don't agree with this fucker? Why are you buying it?" Because it's comics, and I need to experience it, even if it's politics I don't agree with. But I wanted to get these Cyberfrog books from Ethan Van Sciver, and I don't like the man itself. I like his work, and I want to experience some of his early work. I know him from Green Lantern. Politics aside, I wanted to experience these and see what they were. So I got some Cyberfrog. I got two issues of X-Men, early issues 24 and 29. I am working on that collection quite a bit. And the Cyberfrog commemorative edition. These are the reprints that Harris did of his original material. And then Uncanny X-Men 134. I think this is a key appearance too. Maybe the first Black Queen. I'll have to look it up. Let's give that a shot. And that's pretty much it. So I will be back with some of the weekly reads. And like I said, it's been on the lower end because I haven't been reading a lot. Mostly because of family things and 134. I hope this isn't in the. Oh, it is. X-Men got renamed officially in the indices around 142. So before it was just X-Men. And let's see what 134 is. Yeah, the first appearance of Dark Phoenix. I knew it was somebody. So I'm working my way on that Uncanny X-Men, and if you've been listening long enough, I've made quite a bit of progress with reads. Reed also sent me some splatters that I was interested in. He heard that I was me and Bill talking. I can't remember what else was in that box besides the Conan. Oh, there was some Amazing Adventures, which was the Inhumans and the Kraven. He I had most of the Inhuman stuff, but he filled like one of the gaps I was missing, and then the Kraven, not Kraven, Killraven stuff. I didn't have, even though I did buy the Marvel Masterpiece Killraven series, because that person that I was talking about earlier, the negative person that does the great preview spotlight, sold me on Killraven. I bought that collected edition, and now I'll have the singles. So, yeah, that's what we have. I'll be back with some weekly reads. By the way, I'm reading Ronin, Miller's Ronin for the very first time. And at first I was like, wow, well, what drove me to Ronin was me and Bill Bomer went to a Jim Shooter interview, and he was talking about Frank Miller. And Frank Miller at the time was doing Daredevil, and he was hotter than hell at Marvel. Like, he could do no wrong. And Jim Shooter didn't want to lose him, but he also wanted to spread his creative wings. And Ronin, I don't think Shooter wanted to publish. And so he took it to DC, and DC published it. And he called it a hot mess in this panel. So I was like, what is this, a hot mess? And when I read the first issue, I could see where he's coming from, because it really shifts gears around page 13, and you think you're reading a samurai story, and then all of a sudden you're in the very far future, and things shift, and it looks like it's missing some editorial continuity. But the more I read, the more I was engrossed with what was happening in the world building that Miller was doing. So I'm not sure I'm going to agree with Shooter, Mr. Shooter, on there. But That'll wrap this part of the episode up, and maybe over the weekend I'll do the weekly reads at least 2 weeks worth, so I at least keep on some kind of rhythm and don't fall too far behind, because at one point I was a year behind and I don't want that to happen. So I want to thank you for listening, and I'll be back with that, the weekly reads. Take care. Bye. Hello and welcome back to Mike M's Weekly Reads. We're going to go over 3 weeks of the weekly reads to catch us all up. And this is actually recorded a week after the recording that you're just listening to. So I didn't get around to releasing it, so it's a week late, which I'm kind of bummed out about because I fell behind on the weekly reads again. So I'm trying to get 3 weeks out again. That means if I do another 3 weeks the following week, I'll be sort of caught up. But it's been a lot of acquisition, comic acquisition, a lot of comic maintenance, and not a lot of reading. So you'll see a downturn, but I've been full of comics. The fire hose is kind of just overflowing right now. But let's jump into those weekly reads, and I'll probably, oh, I hope I saved the right one. I have two instances of it, and hopefully I have the right one up. Yeah, it should have told me. That's some really interesting radio. So we'll start with April 8th through April 14th of 2019. Again, my ratings are 5. I love it. 4. I really like it. 3. I like it. 2. I did not like it. 1. I hated it. So we'll start at the bottom. We'll start with the totals. That week I only read 20 comics. One from Heroic Publishing. I think it's my first Heroic Publishing book. 5 from Marvel. 2 from Kickstarter, 11 from DC, and 1 Atomic Pulp, which isn't available unless you order from Indie Planet. That's also where I got the Heroic Publishing from. So we'll start at the bottom, the 4 out of 5s. We had no 3 out of 5s, so I really had a good week. I really enjoyed what I was reading. We have The Thing, Freak Show, number 1 through 4. This was by Jeff Johns and the Flash artist Scott Collins. Around the time that Jeff left, he almost like took his artists with him, because he went over there. He did the Avengers. He did the Vision. He did the Thing Freak Show. He might have done some others that I'm not aware of. I never read the Thing Freak Show. And how did I read this? I don't even think I own this. If I own it, I don't own a full run. So let's check it out. Thing Freak Show. Yeah, I only own 3 and 4, and I think I found them in a dollar bin. And I still need to get 1 and 2 to complete that run. But I read it on Marvel Unlimited. I've been trying to make my money's worth every month, and this month I sort of made my money's worth by reading a lot of comics from Marvel Unlimited. So this was Ben is punctured by the Wrecker. So the Wrecker is one of the Wrecking Crew. He's one of my favorites. I love the Wrecking Crew, and he got that crowbar of his and sort of like pried, like shoved it in between two rocks of the thing and like cut a piece of him out. And this destroyed, because at this particular time, the thing could change back to Ben Grimm, and now he could no longer turn because of that injury, and it upset him. So he says, "Screw this, I'm gonna go on a trip to Myrtle Beach." And I've been to Myrtle Beach before for work. I didn't get to spend much time on the beach. I was working. But I did get to walk the beach one night, and It's a nice area, and I think the time that I was there, it was pretty crowded. 'Cause when I get out of work, it was like 2 a.m. and I'd go to like a bar and try to get something to eat, and they usually wouldn't have good cooking at 2 a.m. They'd have like like snacks and stuff you could order, but I have been there, and the thing is going there. He needs to get away from it all. It's been stressful for him, so he's headed out. And on his way, his train crashes into a small town where he remembers how a kid he treated. As a kid, Ben Grimm remembers how he treated the freaks at a freak show. So he, Ben Grimm, this kind of betrayed him as like a young asshole. He made fun of these people. He treated them badly at the freak show. And now he sort of regrets it. But it turns out the town is made of Kree and Skrulls in a constant fight. The Kree is using a baby watcher as a weapon, as Ben frees it. The Kree leave the planet after being defeated and take the power scroll with them. And he ends up fighting one of those freaks, and that freak remembers the thing from way back when he was a child. So that wasn't a good thing. But I need to pause for the cause because I gotta blow my nose. So I am back, and the next one I read was a Heroic publisher. I really enjoyed these. This one I bought off of Indie Planet when I went to make my purchase. I went there for that Atomic Pulp comic. He's doing like these quarterly 80-page, 60-page giants, and he's been advertising them on Twitter, and it's kind of like the only place to get them. And Indie Planet is sort of print on demand. That's what they call it. It's kind of expensive. Yeah, you're gonna pay some extra money for doing this, but it's kind of convenient because you get it relatively fast. I've been really happy with their service, with the exception of the website. It's freaking horrible to search for things and add things to your cart. If it was easier, it's probably a good thing, because if it was easier, I probably would have bought a lot more. It just made it really difficult. The issues aren't in order if you were looking for things. But I did make one more purchase after this one, and every time there's an Atomic Pulp comic coming out, I will go to the website. One of them has an Andrew Peepoy cover, I believe, so I'll be there for sure. League of Champions. It's a goddess is set to marry his various lords of chaos, but does not want to, and manages to get out of it and has sex with a hero who is being turned into a woman that is married. That sounds like totally confusing, but it is a goddess that's, hey, she's got to marry somebody. So all these gods are in line saying, hey, marry me, marry me. And she doesn't want to choose them, so she sort of rebels and goes down to the planet, has sex with a human superhero. That particular human, I think, from what I gauge, was turned into a woman by another act in previous issues. And by screwing him. Sounds ridiculous. He started to turn back to a man, and this particular man is married, but I think he was grateful for this act of sex because she reversed the process. It is a very interesting cross between CrossGen, if you know what that company is, the first, and Innovations Hero Alliance. Hero Alliance was a bunch of heroes, and it focused on relationships more than it did fighting bad guys and stuff like that. So that's why I sort of liked it. I read all of Hero Alliance. Going back to when I first started podcasting, I was listening to Derek Coward, who is the host for all of my shows, by the way, on the Deliberate Noise Network. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be into podcasting. So thank him. Say, hey, thanks, Derek, for having Geek Brunch and DC Noise on your feeds and Mike Adams Weekly Reads. because without him, they wouldn't be there. They likely wouldn't be there. But anyway, I enjoyed it. It's a very sexual book too. It's I think there was some brief nudity, not like boundless nudity, but there's enough nudity to make it like rated R, content. A lot of sexual situations. If you remember Cross Gens the first, it was about gods. That's why I said it's a cross between that, because this focused about on a bunch of gods that are sort of above Earth and above everything else, and they're looking at Earth as, hey, this is like a toy. The next one is a Kickstarter I enjoyed quite a bit. It's called Tainted. The downside is I don't know when issue 2 is going to come out, because it was a single issue, but a cheerleader loses her friends and boyfriend to a freak storm bus accident. So they're basically on a bus going to a game, and her boyfriend was like the star football player, if I remember correctly. And she never really covers from this severe depression because she's like the lone survivor. And yeah, we've seen this sort of thing like in Final Destination and movies like that. So it's sort of like that. But here's a twist. There's a cult that is after her because they think she's some kind of seer. So that makes it different and interesting. And I enjoyed it quite a bit. The art was solid. The story was solid. It was told very well. The next one from DC Comics, Shazam, 2 through 4. Billy's dad shows up. The foster parents are wondering where the kids went because they all went with Billy. The kids are exploring the magic lands. So this comic introduces the magic lands. There are 7 lands: the fun lands, the game lands, the earth lands, the Wunzer lands, and the wild lands. Dark lands and monster lands. The kids take the subway to the fun lands where the world is full of kids in a paradise for abused kids led by a character called King Kid. He is not good and he captures Mary because she is considered an adult, and Billy then says the word Shazam. Pedro and Eugene end up in the game lands where everything is being paid like a game. Darla and Freddy end up in the wild lands where Takitani is, and they don't like humans there at all. They're like animal hybrids. Anthropomorphic characters, I think, is the term. Savannah is up to no good as he's cooking up a recipe for something and kills a specific a doctor, like a medical doctor. Black Adam is going after the kids. I enjoyed this. If you're into the movie, I think you'll enjoy this as well because it featured all the characters. So check it out. We have Tracy Queen Volume 1. This one, when I started it, I didn't think I was gonna like it. It was a Kickstarter. The art was Xenoscope-ish. Average Xenoscope-ish. And what I mean by that is I really like Xenoscope books. They get all the great artists to do the covers, and the interiors are usually pretty weak. They're still good storytellers, and the stories are still good, but the art is it looks very generic, and that's how this book looks, sort of. But this is going to sound ridiculous, but the execution on this is phenomenal. A woman is very unsatisfied working for her grandfather protecting his drugs, meets up with a drug-addicted squirrel who teaches her how to enjoy life, eat, because she wouldn't eat properly, and how to masturbate. It's so freaking weird. And she actually, starts masturbating for money in front of like a video, sex video type thing. It becomes really bizarre. And she is like a lethal weapon. Like, her grandfather uses her to do certain jobs, and she can kick ass. So we'll see where this goes. I really enjoyed this one. It was a very unusual Kickstarter, but it was a hell of a lot entertaining, and a lot of it was the banter between this woman and the squirrel. You might say that sounds terrible, but it really wasn't. It was really entertaining and very different, very different. We have Green Lantern 3 through 6. This is the Grant Morrison Green Lantern, with Liam Sharp art. Really strong art, man. And I think the story is very strong. There is an alien who auctions off worlds to people. He is auctioning off Earth, and a godlike being wins it. And Hal finds out this shepherd, there's a character called Shepherd, makes everything seem great, but eventually devours the planet. He's that godlike who's doing the planets. He kills the auctioneer once he sees them slave trading kids. All is not as it seems, as Hal is now wanted by the Guardians, but is working undercover to infiltrate the Black Stars. He succeeds. We are drawn to believe he kills Adam Strange on Rand, but somehow faked it. Alana ends up killing the controller Mew because he captured their daughter Aaliyah. I've been reading some old Adam Strange, and this is just fantastic stuff. I've really been into the character. Hal meets up with some strange guardian-like fellow called Meridian. It is a guardian-type character. We have from Marvel Comics the 12. I never read this. I own it. It's in a box downstairs, and I decided one night, it was really late, and I decided I wanted to read something after the thing, and I read the 12, and it was really good. I only read the first issue, but it's a group of Golden Age heroes who are going after Hitler when they are captured by Germans and frozen, very much like Captain America. They're awakened to become agents of our government, the United States government. Very interesting, and happens after a civil war. And what I mean about that is the Marvel event Civil War. So it happened right after that, after they're awakened from their frozen chambers. The Untold Legend of the Batman, number one. I think I read more than number one, but maybe not. I had a lot to say about this. And it was absolutely fantastic. I have never read it before. I read this digitally too. I was trying to do the DC Universe app, and they started to populate it with a lot of comic books. And I saw this on there, and I was like, I have never read this before. I don't even own it. And Batman finds his father's bat costume was shredded in the Batcave, so he's in the Batcave. He recalls the origin of his father wearing the costume and how he took down a crook. The crook later hired Joe Chill to kill Thomas and Martha, basically to get revenge on his father, Thomas Wayne. So Thomas Wayne in this flashback was like at a costume party, and these criminals broke in and they started to steal jewelry, and one of them got injured, and they stole Thomas Wayne because he was a doctor. Whereas Thomas Wayne knew that if he fixed this individual, as soon as he fixed him, he'd be killed because of what he witnessed. So he foils the operation, and they foil him. So then he seeks out to get revenge, and that same crook hired Joe Chill to kill Thomas and Martha Wayne. It shows how he purposely left Bruce alive. Later, Bruce wants to become a cop, but realizes the law will get in his way. He trains under a detective named Harvey Harris, who finds out he is Robin. It also shows how Bruce grew up with his uncle and Joe Chill's sister, Mrs. Chilton, which is very interesting. She was the nanny because she felt guilty of her brother's actions. Sound familiar? The crook Lou Moxon, responsible for the death, had an accident and does not remember. He ordered to kill Thomas and Martha Wayne, so Batman makes him remember, and he escapes. He asks some crooks for protection. That's that Lou Moxon guy. He asks other crooks for protection, and they find out he made the Batman, so they kill him. So that's the irony of the situation, because those guys hate Batman. Bruce has to find out who invaded the cave and got his father's costume out. So it's giving a lot of backstory about why he became Batman and the killer. And what I mean, sound familiar? It's kind of like Joe Chill killed the parents, and then Lou Moxon was the guy who hired the killer. Really fantastic story. Highly recommend it. It's only 3 issues. It's available on the app. As soon as I read it on the app, I bought it. I went to mycomicshop.com and purchased this gem. It's a true gem. Whether it's in today's continuity, probably not, but it is history. History is linear. All the character history is linear, and it did happen. I hate when people say it didn't happen. It happened. It might not be in the same continuity anymore because of Flashpoint, but it did happen. Everything leads from one event in a multiverse to another event in a multiverse. So, Space Crusaders number 1. This is the one that I ordered and was really pleased with. It's science fiction goodness. Rex Dexter of Mars features as a sci-fi story of Rex and Cindy is spelled C-Y-N-D-E, who are asked to go to Earth to stop a huge orb from crashing into Earth. And they're not happy about asking help from Rex. They don't have a good relationship with Rex Dexter, but they're asking for his help as the last desperation to get his help. And he's reluctantly saying, okay, I will. In the orb, there is a small world of people and dinosaurs, so they have to find a way to redirect it from crashing into Earth and keep all of the beings in the orb alive. And then, so that was pretty fascinating. The second story is about a private eye on a space station called Lance Lewis, who is hired by a brain-looking alien who is a man, but really a woman who was transferred into this body. Really good sci-fi stories. Look forward to if it ever continues, because I think these stories are meant to continue, maybe if they're successful in a quarterly type fashion. We then get to 2DC, actually 4DC books that are 5 out of 5s, which mean I loved it. Martian Manhunter Volume 4. This series has been nothing but spectacular for me personally. It's just hitting me at the right time. The art is hitting me at the right time. His partner now knows who he is and how he assumed the role of her late police partner. She no longer wants to work with him on a case to find a missing girl. That's kind of how the issue 1 started. The kidnapper of the girl is a Martian and looks to be seeking some revenge on the Manhunters. John Jones, willing to commit crimes in the flashbacks to save his family. A lot of Martian backstory on how important it is to assume your chosen shape. The Martians can choose their shape, kind of like when they become teenagers. It's like their rite of passage. He still does not let his wife totally in on what's going on with his backstory. When they do mind melds, it's just an incredible series. And then my reread of Final Crisis, like I talked about it last issue, I just think it's phenomenal on the second read. I love it so much more than the first time. Issue 4, Turpin turns into Darkseid, even though he tries to resist. The Hall of Justice is invaded as Green Arrow makes a final sacrifice to save the remaining Leaguers, and there's only a handful of them. There are factions of the Rebellion led by Alan Scott, Mr. Terrific, and Checkmate, and it was just phenomenal. And this series does bring Barry back to light in the first issue, so it's really pertinent to the Flashpoint and everything that precedes it. Man, my allergies are so bad, so I apologize to you. The next month, we had a total of 18 comics. We got one from Vantage. That is a Speculator magazine from the 90s. 2 from Triumphant. These were the serial numbered comics of the 90s. Vantage actually led me to read those 2 Triumphant comics for a reason. I'll be talking about that. Tops, 6 of them. 5 from Marvel, 1 from Image, 2 from Dynamite, 1 from Aftershock. Really good distribution that week, even though there wasn't quite. I like to read at least 30 to 35 a week because I intake about 100. So you can imagine the amount of reading material I have, and I'll be talking about that in a future episode. which I'll probably record some of it tonight. I do have one question that was really interesting. And my answer changed over the course of a week, which is also interesting. But we have at the bottom a 3 out of 5, which means I just liked it. I read this on Marvel Unlimited, even though I have a full run of this individual issues. It's Ghost Rider number 93, volume 2. Read this digitally, and the series jumped from 29 to this issue digitally. So I was trying to read it. I read it by accident, to tell you the truth. I was reading around the time when Spirits of Vengeance started to come out, and everything was phenomenal. So I was like scrolling by. I said, I want to read the next Ghost Rider to finish, you know, the story. And I moved over and I started reading. I said, holy hell, this jumped way ahead. I'm now in 93, from issue 29 to 93. So it was a bit of shock, late night reading at 3 a.m., and I just pressed through it. This one, Blackhawk was getting Ghost Rider to marry two demon women, and I don't really understand why. One of which, it was a demon of Johnny Blaze's wife. He wanted her to kill Ghost Rider. Meanwhile, Danny's mom in ghost form, mother to Blaze and Danny, and that was revealed, I remember, in either Ghost Rider 0 or Ghost Rider minus 1, I can't remember, that they're related, Danny and Johnny. She breaks the curse she has on her lineage at the expense of Danny, so kind of like losing his soul. But they were all, every child that she had would be cursed with this. That's kind of how number one started with Ghost Rider. We're going to get into the 4 out of 5s. Triumphant Unleashed. Number 0 and 1. A goddess is destroying worlds. She wants to mate with Chromium Man, but he has a wife and would not join her. Riot Gear, Prince Vandal, and Zemos are out to defeat her. So those are other comic books that you can buy within the Triumphant universe. Her close adversary knows they are going to lose, so he blows up the ship, knowing his goddess will return. It has one page spread of Defiance War Dancer. And that's what blew me away, is that Vantage magazine said there was like this weird agreement between Triumphant and Jim Shooter, which had Defiant, that they could use a character, but they used him in very minimally. They featured a War Dancer in a one-page, two-page spread in this comic book. And I would have never known this if I hadn't read Vantage magazine, that these two companies, Triumphant and Defiant, had a crossover. I would have never known it. I don't think there is a Defiant book that has a Triumphant character, though. I think there's just two appearances. I think one of them has Dr. Chaos and the other. In one of the Dr. Chaos's book, it has War Dancer again, and then this one had War Dancer. So there you go. You learn about company crossovers you probably don't care about, but I do. We have Ghost Rider 28-29, Spirits of Vengeance number 1, and Darkhold number 1. And this is what I was trying to focus reading late at night, is just reading some Marvel. What are they called? Spirits of Vengeance. Midnight Suns. That's what the comic books were. This is the Midnight Suns crossover where Doctor Strange helped for uneasy alliances with Ghost Rider, Blaze, Nightstalker, Morbius, and Darkhold to take down an evil woman named Lilith, who is trying to bring more of her children back into this world. Danny is not part of Ghost Rider at this particular time, and he needs to rescue Danny. Blaze is married to and reluctant to join until his family is in danger. They get the daughter of the father who owns the Darkhold book to help. Nightstalkers are really against the idea and consider Johnny and the Ghost Rider enemies. He was not able to read the Morbius or Nightstalkers because they weren't available digitally. on Marvel Unlimited, but they have, I found in subsequent weeks that they started putting more out there, and you'll see me talk about those because I read them. We have from Dynamite Comics, Sheena number 0. Sheena goes after what she says is a flying turtle, in a forbidden area, but that flying turtle really is a drone. He enters the forbidden area, fights some plants, and stops the drone. Last page shows the kid that is flying the drones. Really interesting way to start a story, I thought, because she doesn't really have a concept of the technology of a drone, so she really does think it's some kind of like flying turtle. The next one is Zorro number 0 from Tops. If I remember correctly, I own this in two forms. I bought this as a single from mycomicshop.com because I was feeling in the Zorro mode and a Tops mode. What led me there is I was reading old Advance Comics, which is like Previews magazine. And I said, you know what? I don't own any Zorro, and I love Zorro. When I was a kid, I used to sing that stupid 1974 song all the time. So I got this Zorro number 0. This was exciting as Zorro is torn up by a trapper. It basically starts off with like Zorro's riding his horse. And there's this weird trapper that has like these two huge logs, kind of like the Ewoks use to smash the AT-AT. But in this time, it's just one log that has like blades all over it, and it's like going to decapitate him. So he's a trapper. Zorro barely manages to, you know, duck and run under the horse and save his horse. But he gets cut up in the process, and it's basically about this trapper just kicking his ass. And I just thought it was hilarious. The other thing that was interesting is the marking technique in number 0 was sort of forecasting what villains would appear in future issues as pinups. And it showed you, hey, Lady Rawhide's going to show up, Machete's going to show up, and Moonstalker. And we'll be talking about some of those villains because this is fantastic. That was a 4 out of 5. So another 4 out of 5 was Assassin Nation. One lead assassin is hiring the rest to protect him. After the gathering, there are only a handful left to take the job, as a lot of them slaughtered one another. I think the main assassin is setting them all up to eliminate the competition. What was really entertaining is the Eric Henderson art, the story. And like I said, I think the main assassin is using this as an excuse to eliminate his competition. But I don't know that because I haven't read the number 2 yet. We then have Dark Red number 1, which was also a Geek Brunch choice that we talked about in grave detail. But it is a vampire works at a convenience store in a small town. And he has an agreement with the owner that, hey, I need to leave, you know, before the light starts coming up. But his girlfriend has a condition called polycythemia, which is a slow-growing blood cancer in which your bone marrow makes too many red blood cells. I had to go Google that and really understand it. It's an awful disease. But in the case of a vampire, it makes this relationship because the girl will say, you know, drink my blood because I'm creating too many red blood cells, and he's saving her life while she's saving his. So it makes this like symbiotic relationship. Three vampires kill some hunters and then go after him and his girlfriend. He kills them, and then a sexy lady vampire shows up and says that he is the vampire savior. Really interesting story by Tim Seeley. I enjoyed the heck out of it, and the art was spectacular. We then get into the 5 out of 5s. We have Vantage number 0. This is a speculator book from 1993. This was the first time I read Vantage magazine. It has a very interesting article with Jim Shooter on why he left Valiant. It was basically a husband and wife that owned Voyager Communications with Jim Shooter. And they had the majority shareholding, and she wanted to essentially give her brother a job and also sell the company. The Defiant suit with Marvel's Plasma, it also talked about that. So Marvel was suing Jim Shooter and Defiant because they had a title called Plasma, and he was coming out with Warriors and Plasm. I don't think they won that, but they did make him change the name. I think he was going to call him Plasm originally. I think the binder might actually be called Plasm. The Card and Binder Fiasco with Diamond and the River Group. What this was is the first issue of Plasm was released in a binder, and you had to buy the cards and put them in the loose leaf format, and each card formed like a panel, and then those panels would form a comic book. Well, at this time you had Diamond and you had Advanced Comics, which is Capital, and there was some weird thing where the publisher on Diamond's side thought they could only publish X amount of copies. I think it was like 15,000. Let me see if I wrote it down. I didn't write it down. It was like, let's say 15,000. It was a small number. They said, oh, nobody's going to buy these cards. But they ended up selling like 100,000 of them, and they couldn't fulfill the demand on that side. So it was a very weird situation, because they didn't really think they could sell that many with these binders and cards they had to buy. Then it had Speculation for Exiles 3, which had the death of a character, and Prime number 4. The article about Dark Horse's Vortex and Dark Horse's Legend imprint, which was pretty fascinating. I own most of the Comics Greatest Worlds of Vortex stuff, but I don't own a lot of the Legend stuff. Next Men would be the one that I followed through with. I didn't get Concrete or any of the Hellboy was the most popular one to launch out of it, I believe. And there was some Art Adam stuff. I can't remember what it was. But Vantage was spectacular and actually is causing me to go buy a lot of 90s comics just because I want to read them. Red Sonja number 1. This is the Dynamite relaunch. A new king is invading every land he can think of. He first sends a letter to the king saying, surrender your kids, cattle, and food to our kingdom. Once you submit, you will be part of that growing kingdom. Oh, by the way, we need a percentage of your kids to join the army at an earlier age. But it shows him invading one land, killing that king, and then going for another land, and Red Sonja is basically handed back the reins. Like they announce her queen when she heads back home, and she doesn't want anything to be queen, but she decides to take it. She gets the letter and sends a severed skull with shit on it in its mouth back to that king and says, bring it on, you fuck. And she didn't say that. I'm saying that, but that's kind of like what she did. She gave the middle finger and said, I know what you're doing. I ain't going to put up with this crap. Which is probably a good choice because it shows in the first part of the story that the king that they did defeat was willing to submit and ended up dying for it. So, Zorro, 1 through 5, tops. I absolutely adored this. Don McGregor's story was just phenomenal. It was probably my favorite comic series of the year, and it's from Tops. Who would have guessed? I loved Don McGregor's story with Mike Mayhew art. The first story, Zorro saves a rich Don's wife. You know, they have like Don so-and-so and Don so-and-so. From a man called Machete, and they fight over a volcano. It was very exciting. The wife wants some Zorro love, but he will not give up because she is married. And the interesting thing about this Machete character is he kidnapped her for money, to get money to extort, you know, get money from the husband who was a Don. And there's one scene where he's like, you know, I'm really bored. I don't know if your husband's going to pay, but he tries to rape her because he's like, I'm bored. I'm going to have fun. And that's when Zorro comes in and starts kicking ass, you know, like carves a Z in the guy's ass. And yeah, that's pretty exciting. Later, Zorro saves a Native American from getting whipped. And that character comes back in as a major character. He was very angry at the monastery and how the monastery hurt his people, the Native Americans. The captains think Ramon Santiago is Zorro and goes after him. He accidentally gets his face caught on fire by a misfired musket. So this guy Ramon Santiago is a player as well in the big story arc. Zorro then shows up and douses the flames with his cape, but Ramon Santiago's face is already burned very badly. Ramon's sister and father come to town to take care of Ramon. Later, Lady Rawhide shows up for vengeance against the captain and Zorro. She fights Zorro. So Lady Rawhide, you find out, is Ramon Santiago's sister. So she goes to kill both of them. And she they when the captain arrives, and he kind of like makes peace with her and says, "Why are you trying to kill me?" And they end up like almost screwing on the captain's bed, which is, I found hilarious. Zorro's father, Alejandro Diego, who was a don, is very upset at the worth ethic of his son. He is a don in this book. I think I'm getting it confused with the 1973 movie. He does not know his son is Zorro and thinks he is a clown because he draws cartoons of soldiers and spends all day reading. And you'll see this in Mark of Zorro, because which is the movie, 1973. He tries to portray himself as an idiot in front of his father on purpose, until the very end when he finds out that his son is Zorro. Meanwhile, a representative from Spain is coming over for a visit, so the captain is freaking out. The sergeant tries to relieve his stress with humor, because he's that fat sergeant who is like the comic relief in Zorro, if you've ever watched or seen Zorro. The Native American becomes a vigilante called Moonstalker and has a lovely woman living in the monastery. They provide him for love. I don't know what I mean by that, but Moonstalker's woman is in the monastery, and he does end up getting her and making love to her. He goes to destroy the captain as he is getting his visit from Spain. So that is Moonstalker. So you could see like seeds being laid from the first story from Machete all the way to the guy getting whipped and actually becoming Moonstalker, to the burning of Ramon Santiago's face and his sister becoming Lady Rawhide. Just fantastic continuity, fantastic story, very dense storytelling. If you read today's comic books, you might say, "Oh, this is awful," because you're used to this. You have an ADT problem, attention deficit disorder problem, ADD. I think it's called something else now, but. Because this comic book, each one of these took me about 30 to 35 minutes to read. That's how dense they were. And I loved every moment of it. Absolutely fantastic. So we'll get into the final week. That's from April 23rd to April 28th. There were only 8 comics, so this should be lightning fast. We have Tops has one, Marvel has two, IDW has one, DC has three, and Continuity has one. We'll start with the 4 out of 5s. There's no 3 out of 5s. We have Nighthawk number 2. This is a Neil Adams book from Continuity. The android stolen from the lab is an android that is looking to collect Soviet and North Korea nukes for our government. The interesting thing about when I think about this was North Korea was trying to build nukes at this time, and this is in the 90s, so it just shows you where we are now, where North Korea is sort of in the spotlight of things trying to build nuclear weapons. So there are these boxes that give the Nemo more humanity that have been stolen. So the Nemo is the android that they stole. Nighthawk follows that thief that leads them to Nemo Yeah, this is really a good story. I'm enjoying it. And I have bought the rest of the story from mycomicshop.com. We have Amber Blake number one. This was a magazine format, a release. I bought it for the Butch Geist art. I didn't know it was going to be magazine format. I'm pleasantly surprised because the art popped. It looked even bigger than normal. I like the format, and I have Mylars for magazines because I buy back issue magazine, and I've been getting into Rampaging Hulk, so it didn't bother me. I have magazine boxes. I have a place for it. Amber grows up in a series of schools after her mom leaves her at an orphanage. She is gifted as she goes through life in schools. She is being watched by various agencies. In her final stint at a school, she learns of one of the men in a that is in power raping a young girl. She goes to protect her with her friend. Her friend ends up dead, like she committed suicide. A school saves her with the main character because someone in power is trying to kill her. The new organization recruits her to stop rape, sex trafficking, and other things. That was Amber Blake number one. We then get into Justice League number 15. On Thanagar, Martian Manhunter John and Kendra are trying to break in and rescue another Martian. Shiera and crew are trying to stop them, along with Kilowog and the Green Lantern Corps. Meanwhile, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman try to prevent Will Payton, Starman, from going supernova. Really spectacular story. Snyder is making this story so epic, and Tinian is following along in every third issue, and it's just working so well. Spirits of Vengeance 2 and 3. The Sister of Vengeance is going after Ghost Rider and killing others in the process. Johnny and Ghost Rider stop a father from beating a child. Lilith brings back Skinner, which is one of her children, to go after Blaze, and he essentially kills his whole family. Even though he found peace when Lilith was dead, he found peace acting like a human and being with his family. He killed them to basically save them from Lilith, and now he's seeking revenge after Johnny and Ghost Rider. But he was caught in a rock in a hard place. He knew that if he didn't kill his family, that she would kill his family. So he did it unwillingly, and now is seeking vengeance on the two people that he blames for Lilith coming back. We have Birds of Prey number 2 and 3, the second volume. This is Gail Simone. These terrorists have captured a little girl for ransom, and Black Canary goes to save her. She saves her, but almost beats the terrorist to death. Someone is trying to take down the Birds of Prey. They introduce the White Canary, who the Huntress and Black Canary fight. Savant gets killed. As Creote reports, Hawk and Dove recruited by Barbara along with Lady Blackhawk. And that terrorist guy was really not a good person either, because he had this little girl and she was like freezing to death, and she was maybe gonna die anyway. He would have killed her anyway if Black Canary let up. We then get into another issue of Zorro, 5 out of 5. So now we just left the 4 out of 5s. Now we're in the 5 out of 5s. We have Zorro number 6. Zorro is trapped in a decaying whale because he was captured by Moon. I can't remember his name now. Moonstalker. He was captured by Moonstalker. Moonstalker's base of operations is a rotting whale corpse on the beach. And there he works with two assistants in that thing, and they actually captured Zorro, and he's trapped there. The captain and sergeant are about to get visited by the visitor from Spain, and they're taxing the hell out of their people to try to make enough money so they can give it to the Spaniards. Moonstalker are about to kill the Spaniards. Lady Rawhide will ride again. And they tell us how she uses a chemical to temporarily dye her hair. I God, I'm loving this stuff. Zorro. And that is the end. I want to thank you all for listening to me talk for over 2 hours. And I will be back next week with another episode. So I will talk to you very, very soon. And you can reach me and send me questions anytime you want.
Excuse me, Professor.
to Mike at comicbooknoise.com. That's my email. Or, better yet, at Mike Myers Brunch. That's MikeMyers Brunch, BRUNCH, on the Twitters. And the website is geekbrunchpodcast.com, and on Facebook you can follow all the episode threads there by going to the search bar, typing in geek space brunch space podcast, and then clicking that link, and then click the like button, and then you will follow that group or that page. I can't remember if it's a group or a page, but thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you very, very soon. Bye-bye.